Unique, New York. Unique, New
How now,
York.
brown cow?
How now, brown cow? How now, brown cow? Lanolin? What's up, everybody, and welcome to the official PlayStation podcast of the KT Data Network. We are the Little Big Cast. On today's show, Rachel shocks us all with her youthful debauchery. Drew
Yay.
refuses to share his youthful debauchery.
Well, no.
And Jeff explores the dark recesses of Reddit. And Drew
How
is
dare you?
disappointed.
I
All
am
this and more
disappointed.
on episode 18 of the Little Big Cast. Welcome, everybody. I don't care if it's stupid. What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 18 of the Little Big Cast. I'm your host for today, Jeff Hawks, and with me, as always, the ever-wonderful Rachel.
Howdy.
And the one and only Drew Tyler, who...
I want to be ever-wonderful.
Sorry, you're the one and only.
Nope. You are one and only, Drew. That's true.
Awesome.
And that's not meant to be bad. So this is episode 18, and we are super pumped to be here with you guys today. Hopefully, we get a few viewers that don't hate our guts.
You know what?
Or maybe we will.
I don't know if was any of that in the show last week, the fact that we had this fantastic troll? I think that's a sense of validation, but we hope to have some people in the chat and a good discussion.
Anyone's better than no one, and I think, so typically at the end of every show, we do like a shout-out section, right? Like, where we talk about the people that are watching, and we're pumped that they're there. And I think we need to start a new section that's just an FU section.
for the trolls that find us.
Right, totally.
Haters, I don't know. What do you guys, that's what it's called.
I think that's a great idea. So, anyway, I'm super pumped to be here. We will get it kicked off immediately with what's happening in our weeks. And since Drew didn't get around to filling out the agenda, I say he goes first.
That's fair.
Okay, fine. So, what did I do this week? What has this week been?
I don't know. Tell me.
Gosh, it's hard. I did finish Uncharted, so that was one big thing in the gaming world. I finished Uncharted, took it to the end. I have made friends with Sully, Nathan, and Elena, and that's fun. So I'm kind of enjoying, you know, having good friends. And I'm looking forward to 2, just to see how games evolve, because 2 is not – see, 1 was 7 years old. How old is 2?
I'm not sure.
4 years or so?
Look that up. 4.
So I'm kind of interested in that, like, again, how game has evolved in that. So I'm looking forward to 2. Other than that, I played a lot of the indie game of the week that we're going to highlight next week, Valiant Hearts.
Yep.
Totally enjoying that game, the style of the game, the artistry, the puzzling, the simple puzzling. There's some good stuff. I'm excited to talk about that one next week. But the only other thing that I've been doing besides, you know, family house things that aren't games is, thanks to our very own KT Data, I have been playing far too much of Marvel Heroes. Honestly, I have like a level 13 and a level 8 character.
Wow.
And I'm just questioning,
wow.
What am I doing? Because I'm not sure. Like, it's fun and it's been neat to play and it reminds me of yesteryear, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, what?
I'm a little worried about you, man. Honestly, like, there's something about legitimate MMOs that are a little bit concerning as far as like the world that they wrap you up in.
Which is why I haven't gotten into them.
You're safe. You're safe.
I just can't.
It's, yeah.
I did, though. I did want to ask. I mean, because Rachel, you beat Uncharted as well, right?
I did.
So last week we talked about, we had a non indie game of the week, right? Where we broke down Uncharted.
Yep.
So yeah, our anti indie game of the week. So have your impressions or your thoughts on the game, and I guess this is for both of you, have your feelings of the game changed now that you've had that full story of part one?
Eh. I just had to, like, tell myself that it was the first one, because it was pretty rushed. I felt like the last 30 minutes of the storyline was just rushed, and things came out of nowhere. And I that last level made me so mad. And then here's the worst part. I beat the game, and I usually play my games on normal, like, first run through, This one was on easy, so I didn't even get an achievement for beating it. Like, I saw it, it was like, you beat the game on easy, and I was just mad. I was like, well, I have to replay it all right now. I have to do the whole thing on normal.
Are you sure, though? Because I saw the same thing, because I got my achievement, and it said, you beat on easy, and then right after it flipped up and said, and I was like, nope. Oh, no, I didn't. And mine flipped up after and said, and you beat it on normal. So I was like,
no, because I play games where that's like that, and I was waiting for it, and I didn't get it. So I don't know what I did. I know, I'm so mad. And no, I was mad that I got frustrated on the showdown level, and I got that mad on easy.
Oh. I'll have to say that yes, it felt like it kind of sped through the last little bit, but right. At the same time, maybe it was that the first three-fourths was overly so stretched long. Out, and maybe that was right. It. But I can't remember. Did I get to the demons when we talked last? I don't think I had gotten to. Because that, to me, all of a sudden...
Neither of you guys did.
Right, playing in the dark at night, all of a sudden it went from, okay, I'm either fighting in a in a jungle or in some sort of ruins, and somehow the bad guys end up being everywhere around every corner, and even when I'm exploring new places that I just found and nobody could have possibly found this clue, they're still down there. Right? Then all of a sudden, when the demons came out, I was like, oh, this is scary. This is freaky. I love that.
Right.
No, I did. Cool. I love that. It added the element of, and you guys know I hate zombies.
Yep.
I was wondering if you were going to stop playing because of them.
It's different. Spaniards who are demons are not zombies. It's okay.
See, they're dead. They're zombies. I'm sorry.
No. Because I could kill them with a shotgun anywhere. I didn't have to chop the brains out.
So, yeah. No, that was my thing, too. Because like, I got to the... Anyways, I thought, all right, we're going to do some treasure hunting. There's no bad guys down here. Yeah, there right? can't be.
Right?
No, then a new enemy occurs, and, like, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and creepy. I couldn't do it. I was really scared because it was dark, and I was like, they're creepy.
And they hit hard.
And hard. Two hitter quitters. Some of them were one hitter quitters. That was not fair.
You got a shotgun, those dudes.
But they didn't give you a shotgun. They gave you, like, an MRPG. It was off, not even an MRPG. They gave you, like, a... That thing, one of those.
No good with that one.
Oh, it was awful.
I had a good time, though. I really did enjoy that. And I think for me, the variety that happened in that last quarter of the game, the variety that kind of kept moving forward, like you're saying, going fast enough, that was like, okay, good, great, great, great. And then one time I got to the showdown, it's like, okay, did this.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for two.
Good. I've got to say, so I started watching just a Let's Play of 2, because it had been so long since I'd played it. Mm-hmm. And honestly, just the Let's Play, like, I watched the first probably 4 or 5 hours, and I was like, damn, this game just looks so freaking good. Like, it is...
You watched a Let's Play for 4 or 5 hours?
Yeah.
I always ask myself, who does this?
So here's the way that you do it. So at work... Okay, I have two monitors that I work off of, and I make my screen about that big, like it's like 4x3, and I just throw it in the bottom right corner, and every now and then I peek down at it. So I ran out of podcasts to listen to, I threw it in the corner, and that's kind of what I glance at to distract me momentarily.
That's good, it's healthy.
Yeah, it helps me. If I could take a minute to just... zone out for a second and then get back to work, I work better than if I work like a freaking zombie the whole time. That's what I tell myself anyway. I am the ADD ginger, so that's...
I'm done with my week. I want to know about yours, Jeff. Tell me, you were thrown in the deep end. I'm really curious to hear about this.
Yeah, so my week was interesting. I got hired to a fantastic job, and I love it. And this is in no way a reflection of like the company as a whole, but everyone there has been crazy busy since I started, and there has been very little time for training. And because everyone else is busy, and because I am figuring out what I'm doing, some stuff that should have happened 2 weeks ago got put off because I was asked to help other people with projects they were working on. Uh-huh. And so Monday I was told, oh, hey, this trade show that's happening in London and in Atlanta, they both have to be packed and shipped by Wednesday. And
today's Wednesday.
Then they all went back to work without really being able to explain to me what that meant and what that entailed.
Wow.
I got everything done. Everything's fine. But holy crap, man. It has been a particularly stressful week, and including... On top of that, I'm learning to adjust to being home without my wife home, which is a weird thing. So normally, like, it's no secret, I'm in the military, I'm a reservist, and so I spend a lot of time traveling. I'm a flight medic, and so a lot of what I do entails flying around, obviously, and flying to different places. And so my wife and I are used to being apart, for me doing military stuff, for me doing work stuff, whatever. That's never been an issue for us at all. And when I'm gone, and we've talked a lot about this, that, like, it's hard not to be bored if I'm up in Washington, right? Like, but that is kind of the status quo, is that if I'm not working like crazy, I'm bored. And that's fine, because that's just what I do there. But to be on the opposite end of that, where my wife leaves, what I'm learning is, like, what normally I'm not bored because I am hanging out with my wife.
Right.
And to have her gone, it's very weird to feel like, what am I supposed to do? Like, Claire's not here, so what am I supposed to be doing? Like, and in Washington, I joke around all the time that, like, I'll tell myself every time I go up there, I'm going to be asleep by 8 o'clock because I'm so freaking tired. And then I watch Ghost Adventures till 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's so true. It's so true.
I can't help it. Like, 1 o'clock rolls around, and I'm like, how in the hell am I still awake? This is a nightmare. And the reality is that, like, I'm like, well, if nobody tells me to go to sleep, I'm just going to stay up and watch Ghost Adventures, and that's what's happened to me the last two nights. So I've had a lot of time with Wolfenstein. I've been playing Wolfenstein, the game that was recently released by Machine Games. I've really enjoyed that. The first hour is very bad. It is not a good first hour of game. It's very just freaking boring and dry and kind of heartless. It doesn't have any reason for you to care about anything that anyone's doing or care about really anyone at all. But slowly the story starts to develop, and it actually is a freaking great game. I've been really impressed. I'm not done with it yet, but I've really enjoyed it. And I've spent a lot of time with Valiant Hearts, which, like Drew mentioned, we're going to get into next week. But I just got to say, man, I really, truly, like, I love a game that wants to tell you a story worth telling. And the way that Valiant Hearts has gone through this storytelling process, not only do you care about the characters, but, like, I mean, this is a real story about one of the most misunderstood and really tragic wars of the last several hundred years. Arguably the worst. I mean, not necessarily in casualties. World War II obviously had more casualties. And I'm kind of a history nerd, so Valiant Hearts also speaks to me on that level. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, what did you think? You guys have both spent a little bit of time with it. Do you like the way that it kind of approaches storytelling, that it jumps between the journals of these characters, it jumps between real-life facts about the environment that these characters are in? What have you thought about it so far?
Rachel? I think it's awesome, just because, like you said, for the history buffs and stuff. Ow, my cat. So, sorry. No, there's, like, little articles you can hit, and it tells you all, like, there is one that I just recently read about mud, and then you have to trudge through mud, and it's, like, Carter to Dodge the Bolt and stuff. So it's really cool. I don't know. I like it, and it's totally, I've, like, nothing I've really ever played before, but I can think of, like, right. A comic, right, though? It's like a comic book, and it takes kind of, like, that art style and that type. But I really enjoy it so far.
Good.
I'm enjoying it. I was worried when it was, like, another war one, because, you know, I don't love the FPS. But getting into it, I did. I started to enjoy the story, and I enjoyed the way that they pulled in the history and the things that you could learn about it, and just kind of the devastation of World War One. It was quick to me. It was the way that they're cut between storylines and interacting. I'm okay with it. I'm loving it.
Cool. I'm excited to break it down a little bit more next week. Outside of that, what else have I done? I'm not going to Washington this month.
Wow, this is a big deal.
I'm not going this month, and I'm not going next month. So what? By the time episode, 24 rolls around, this guy will have a beard.
What? Oh. Drew, anyway, you should grow yours out again, too.
Let's do it, Drew. We'll be beard friends.
No, I can't. I do miss mine. I miss my little mini beard. I did.
Prove that you miss it.
Bring it back for yourself.
If we can get 5 people to mention it on Twitter, will you do it?
No, because I miss the action that I miss. Just say.
Fair.
What about you, Rachel? How's your week been?
It's been interesting.
How's your beard?
I know, it's doing so well. No, I haven't really done a whole ton, kind of, just, like, I went to Park City yesterday, that was pretty fun. My friends and I found, like, this abandoned mine.
That sounds a little dangerous. If I were your parent, I'd be saying...
That's why you don't tell them where you're going.
Yeah.
Yep, nope, it was pretty cool. It was quite a drive up there. Well, it's always fun. Park City is always, like, really pretty, so... Got some pizza afterwards, that was delicious. Besides that, I beat Uncharted, started Valiant Heart, and... Listen to some crappy music this week. It was a bad week for music.
Do you have any desire at all to get back into Watch Dogs?
No.
Good.
I'll probably finish it, though.
Do you guys feel like it's like $50 down the drain, or how do you feel about the purchase?
Oh, no. I feel like I don't feel like it was down the drain, but...
The most fun I've had playing this game, Drew, was running away from you in the car with the mobile app.
We were so excited about it when it first came out.
Yeah.
And you're like, let me talk about it for 30 minutes, guys.
That's what's really funny about this one. I mean, it came in with a whirlwind, you know? Everyone was super pumped. It looked good. We figured that the delay would ultimately help the game. And, you know, who knows what would have shipped had they not delayed it. But honestly, dude, the story just isn't compelling enough to keep me around.
Like, I don't know. I wonder if I even got further than you did, but...
Oh, you for sure did.
I
stopped playing after, like, 5 or 6 hours. I was like,
I'm way more... It's just, like, Grand Theft Auto all over for me again. I'm just tired of driving around, and...
Yeah.
This one does have fast travel, though, so that's a little bit nicer, but it's still pretty rough, and I'm just... I don't know. I just need to beat it just to beat it. It's because I feel like I'm so close. Sorry, my life.
Didn't you?
What?
I was gonna say, didn't you go on? You were supposed to go on some kind of adventure, right? Like we were gonna record Tuesday, but then Rachel was like, "Oh, I can't record Tuesday
because I'm going on an adventure." That was the abandoned mine.
So, I mean, do you have a great story from it? Like, did anyone disappear, get pulled into purgatory?
We did find a trap hole. It was just like it was a mine that was built in the 1800s and then closed in like 1930s or something.
And so you probably weren't supposed to be climbing around in there?
You're probably not, but I mean, what are you talking about? No, but it was pretty cool. We wanted to do more exploring, but some of them were just too creepy to go down. It was really cool because I had my camera, so like we looked down this really creepy hall, and I just kind of like flickered my flash, and it was like, poo, 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 poo. It was seriously like a movie or just like a game, but no one died or anything.
Have you seen the trailer for that new movie that takes place under the catacombs of Paris?
No.
It looks pretty crazy. So I saw... So there are some pretty dark places on Reddit, right? Like...
yes, there are.
Whenever I tell dark. People on Reddit, they're like, no. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, there's some pretty... I mean, Reddit's the best and worst of the world. So there's a subreddit called Morbid Reality. It is just horrible things that have happened in real life. And one of the top posts in Morbid Reality is a picture of... It's a picture of a body of a girl who went down into the catacombs below Paris during a party, and they lost her body for like 14 years, and she starved to death in the catacombs, lost in the dark. And this movie, so I saw, like, the pictures are gnarly. Oh, dude. It just looks like this person melted. And so Drew's so disappointed.
I'm like... There are so many beautiful, wonderful things in the world. You don't need to go through the dark part of Reddit.
I know.
As a bored man with lots of time on your hand, I implore you, look for the light in the world.
I know. This new movie that's coming out is about people going and exploring the catacombs in Paris and getting sucked into hell. Like, they get lost, and then they end up finding, like, things from their past. So, like, they find an old piano. And he's like, you know, this looks just like the piano I used to have as a kid. And the, you know, B6 sharp key was always flat. And he hits it, and it's flat. And he's like, what the F? And then, you know, the trailer takes them and shows you that they go into, like, some kind of hell. And it's crazy.
That is wild. And so nothing happened like that for you in the mind?
No. They probably could have, but we knew not to go down deep.
Yeah, that was my main question. Is like, did anyone get pulled into purgatory?
No, it's really more exciting.
No, having you having
had your own spot on Reddit.
Yeah. Right, I could have.
Having covered many years of news stories, too many people get lost and buried in mines and end up face down in a puddle where they can't get between two rocks. I mean, it happens all the time. So I'm glad you're still alive.
Please,
my child, don't do any more stupid.
Yeah, welcome back, Rachel.
Yay! And then besides that, I've just been watching like Doctor Who and Attack on Titan. It's just animating it up, essentially.
Right on.
That's my week.
So that wraps up all of our weeks then. So now we're going to move into a little segment we like to call Drew's News. And Jeff's I'm going phone. To pump up the jams.
All right, let's rock it out with number one right here. Drew's News number one. I've got seven to do tonight, so stick it out. This is the stuff that's happened in the last week. Number one, Sony dramatically outspending Microsoft in the PS4 Xbone TV ad campaign. I'm not really surprised about this. So that's it. Big spender number one. This one coming from Forbes, of course, but the fact that Sony's putting that much more money into things than Xbox is, anybody surprised?
Honestly, I am.
You're surprised that they're dumping more cash?
I'm surprised because I would expect where Sony's already behind, Sony should be flooding everyone with ads. Like, they should be advertising the crap out of the fact that the Kinect is no longer required with the Xbox. They should have had ads running like mad, you know, throwing this $399 price tag out there so that people know. Because I tell you what, like, outside of the circle of hardcore gamers, nobody knows that the Xbox is now the same price as the PS4. And so they've created, I don't get it. Like, I don't get them not spending as much as they need to get that mind share.
It's kind of funny because they did have an ad recently with Aaron Paul, and apparently he like talks to his,
dumb.
No, he talks to his Xbox, and people were complaining because that was actually turning on their Xbox Ones.
I remember reading that.
So he would be like, Xbox on, and then every, like, so it's pretty funny. So that's an issue.
Yeah, I saw, there's a video on YouTube right now of a guy who, his username is Xbox Off. And so he'll join first-person shooter games like Call of Duty and go and knife his own teammates and trap them in corners and like, Xbox off, get out of my face. And I'm like, no, don't shut it off. I love it.
The things so people genius. Think of. Yeah, brilliant.
But that, I mean, to me, if you're losing, you need to be creating mindshare. Like, you need to be getting mindshare. And the way that you do that is you advertise and you throw money at getting that mindshare out there, right? Like, that's kind of advertising and marketing 101. Like, you've got to let people know what you have to offer, and Microsoft is not doing that, and that's why this article surprises me.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And it's not. Let me say one more thing too. It's not insignificant either. Like, Sony vastly outspent them. Sony spent $59 million on ads as of the end of May 2014. Microsoft spent 34.7. So like, they nearly doubled what Microsoft spent.
Yeah, it's up there. Yes.
That's crazy.
That is pretty nuts, actually.
Xbox just doesn't know yet. I feel like they have to take like a punch in the face, like 10 punches
until they realize
they're doing something wrong. Yeah, because I mean, it's like how long after the launch for them to take away the Kinect? Like, I don't know. I
mean, Microsoft in general, maybe across the whole board. I think Microsoft Vista, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that lasted too long. All right, let's move on. Number two, this one, a little ear morsel. Mike Tyson giving away a cool Bruce Lee.
Ear morsel.
Mike Tyson giving away a cool Bruce Lee themed PS4 with EA Sports UFC. So, Bruce.
It looks cool.
Yeah. In fact, you know what? I forgot I had this ability. I'll show it to you. So those of you that are watching the show, but yeah, it looks way cool. It totally. That is a Bruce Lee style. That
right.
is Bruce Lee themed. So I'm gonna
rest
throw that
in
out
peace,
there.
Homie.
Or Your Kill thoughts? Bill.
Well, I right. throw this up. What do you think? Yeah, it is kind of.
Or it's a Kill Bill one. I thought your ear joke was great, Drew. I just want
you
to
like
say that.
You like that? Thank you. Thank you.
That was a great joke. It would have been awesome if Bruce Lee had been kicking Evander Holyfield's ear. That would have been better.
I bet on the other side it's like his face tattoo.
Honestly though, would you guys buy this for real? Like,
no.
I'm not a sportsy guy, no.
Here's why I wouldn't buy it. Like, why I would not buy a PS4 that had an EA Sports logo on it. That, to me, just is weird. Like, just Bruce Lee, having it yellow and black, I would. That's something I could get behind. I think that's cool.
Right.
But to buy a PlayStation 4 that has EA's logo on it, that's
not that big
annoying to me. Yeah.
No. Why orange when you can have Glacier White?
That's where I'm at.
Totally. Yep.
All right, let's do it. Number three, speaking of Glacier White, Destiny beta details, release date, new location, all of that teased. So that
a little bit of rumory.
They would.
But I'm fine with rumors on this.
I was going to say, for this one, it's been coming little by little with rumors anyway.
So the two pictures, do you want to throw those pictures up there, Drew?
I'll go ahead.
So it's a number of different screens from the game, and it's been suggested by the community that the screenshots represent Mars and Venus, which I think is pretty cool. A couple of the screenshots are also Earth, obviously, but Mars and Venus are supposed to be screenshots 1 and 2. I think that's pretty cool. I also watched a like 30-minute long video the other day where they kind of broke down what they think the Guardians are in Destiny.
Oh.
And if they're right, it was a very spoiler filled hypothesis. But if they're right, it's also really, really cool. I think Bungie is just setting themselves up for huge success with this game.
How's your alpha going? Are you still playing on the alpha some?
No, so that ended that same weekend it started. So I only had a couple of days to play.
Right, and the beta itself kicks off in like 2 more weeks, right?
Yeah, the beta starts July 17th, and you two are both very welcome to come to my house and play the beta if you would like to try it out. I'm dead serious. Like, I'm bored.
That's right. Wipes out of time, let's play. I'd love to see it. So let's make it a plan.
Yeah, seriously. We'll do it. In fact, let's meet up at the... Let's just get together at the school and do a live stream.
Okay.
All together.
Live stream in the beta, cool? Okay. Yeah, we can make that work. I think that's one of our plans, is that we want to do something monthly where we play together. So, cool.
Yeah, let's do it.
Moving on, number news. What am I on? Is this 4?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. 4.
Speaking of 4.
The number 4, the DualShock 4. Can now be used wireless on the PS3. So I didn't read this one. You can have it, Jeff. Did they just back compatible it and be like, okay, now you can do it?
Yeah. So the PS3's had a patch go through. Basically,
previously
you could use the DualShock 4 if it was connected, like hard connected to your PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty universally agreed upon that the DualShock 4 is a much better controller than the DualShock 3, but it sucks playing a controller that's plugged into your system.
Right.
So they've released a patch that now will let you play your DualShock 4 wirelessly. So it's a little piece of news, but for the people that are wanting to do this, it's a great deal. It's a good thing.
So if I'm a guy that knows I'm going to get Glacier White sometime in the next, who knows, year, I could go get a DualShock 4, pair it up, play with my PS3 until such time that I upgrade.
Exactly.
Until my fans come forward and start throwing money at me.
Me first, though.
That's right.
Sorry.
I would.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Drew.
It makes sense. It does make sense. I mean, after all we've been through.
I need awesome. One too. Just because, like, that's a story for a different day.
I think we're doing well. We're giving the people what they want, and so sooner or later they'll start to support us somehow. Put our kids through college. Okay, let's do it. Number 5.
Yours.
This one, PlayStation TV arrives with choices. Guardian, is this Las Vegas Guardian? What is this? What website is this? Did you give me Liberty Voice?
Yeah,
okay, I don't even know Liberty Voice. But
don't worry about it, Drew. Just read the news.
The news has just said the TV arrives with choices.
Be like Ron Burgundy sources. And read the news.
What's the... when PlayStation TV arrives later this year, it's going to come with 2 different choices.
It takes a while for the article to get into it, but basically the first choice is the PlayStation device for the $99, right?
Right.
The only accessory included is an HDMI cable. They're basically saying that this package is the package that people with a PlayStation 3 or a PlayStation 4 are going to be recommended they purchase. the second option is a PlayStation TV with more accessories. So for $139, it comes with a DualShock 3 controller, a 8GB PS Vita memory card, an HDMI cable, and a USB cable with a digital voucher to download the PS Vita edition of the Lego Movie. Video game,
right.
Okay. So for an additional $39, you get a couple other things. So it's kind of a get-started package for the game.
Well, thank you, Liberty Voice. I don't know who they are, but that is the news. I just
they're
read the
definitive local company for...
It's Las Vegas. It is Las Vegas. I know.
Yeah, yep. I have no idea.
Anyway, but hey, they gave us the news. Now let's get on to something that maybe we might all want to know about. Last of Us Remastered, which we know is coming to PS4. It was confirmed to be 60 frames per second, both single player and multiplayer. So that is pretty exciting. And that was a tweet that confirmed that, right?
Yep. It's several tweets, actually, from multiple people at Naughty Dog.
Yep.
This is a pretty big deal. Most of the games that currently exist on even the PS4, while they're running at 1080p, most of them aren't running 1080p 60 frames per second. So Naughty Dog, once again, I think, coming in and showing kind of the dominance that they hold on the Sony market.
And that's insane. I mean, we've hoped for it. We've wished for any type of game to hold that frame rate at that size. And there are more to come, I'm sure.
Yep, totally.
Very cool. All right, finishing up the moves. Here's the last one.
The moves, man.
Here's the last moves. This one, and I think this is coming from E3 News, Evolve winning the best of show at E3, and No Man's Sky wins best original idea. So I think this is some good news. I'm excited to see No Man's Sky. I like that idea of having an open world, and then Evolve being best of show. These are both not surprising, but cool.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Rachel, on this one?
I'm super pumped for Evolve, not just because, like, in the article it mentions how it's going to have, like, a Left 4 Dead feel, and I was one of the very few people that loved the Left 4 Dead series, so I think it's awesome that they're going to finally make that a more enjoyable type of game. But I'm stoked for both of them.
Yeah, I think No Man's Sky looks awesome, and the fact that it's a PlayStation exclusive and that they created, I mean, they literally created an award specifically for No Man's Sky, that the one that's listed there at the bottom, Special Commendation for Innovation, No Man's Sky. And the reason that's they cool. did this, like, most people don't fully understand what No Man's Sky is trying to do. And they literally are creating a universe. And when you start the game, you're on the outer edges of this universe, and your goal is to get to the center of the universe. Every planet has a different theme, and it is experienced differently by every single person that plays it. As I read through a couple articles about this game, it reminded me actually of Ready Player One.
Right, totally.
So the universe that exists in Ready Player One and how you can transport and fly from one planet to the next. And, you know, on one planet there's PvP zones, on others there's non-PvP zones. Like, on some there's questing, on some there's mining, on some, you know, there's this, on others there's that. Man, that is so ambitious, I think, to go after that, especially from such a small company. But that's also kind of what gives them the freedom to do that, right? Like, that's right. The beauty of publisher.
Blockbuster. You don't have to do something that everybody's expecting. I think we'll get into that a little bit later, but I agree with that.
Yep, totally.
Cool. So that's the coolness of that, and that, my friends, is the moves.
All right, then, Rachel?
Bringing it on.
How are you feeling? Ready?
Awesome. So, nothing, just keep snapping, Jeff. So there's really nothing too much different than there was last week, just a couple of add-ons that I added on. So July 1st, Sniper Elite drop, Dynasty Warriors, Guacamelee, that super Yay. Special edition.
Super Turbo Championship Edition. Say it right.
Not just special. Sorry. Super Turbo.
Sorry. Right, that's what it was. And I'm yes. Also, a couple other ones that dropped were Constant C and El Chavo Kart.
Sounds great.
Constant C was like a puzzler, so... Oh, sneeze. Okay.
Good one.
Thanks. July 3rd is Call of Duty's Ghost Invasion. I think that's supposed to say Invasion. Infestation In Bastion.
Is what we have.
My basement gets so cold, which is why I'm wearing a hoodie in the middle of summer, so my fingers get too cold to type sometimes. Fun fact. Yeah. On July 8th is going to be One Piece Unlimited World Red, also Mousecraft. July 15th is going to be Abyss Odyssey and some Saints Row 4 DLC. July 22nd is Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey, Odyssey.
A new Oddworld, right?
Yes.
Haven't seen one of these for a while. I love Oddworld.
Right? It's going to be new and tasty.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Right? And then July 29th.
Is that the title? New and tasty?
New and tasty.
That's awesome.
And then July 29th was the Last of Us Remastered Edition.
Did we mention July 17th is the beta?
Nope.
No.
For Sweet Destiny.
I'm so... that's what it should be called, Sweet Destiny.
Sweet Destiny.
And then Neil Diamond should write a song about it.
Sweet Destiny. Bum, bum. Ba, ba, ba. There we go.
Who's Neil Diamond? I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding.
Rachel works at a radio station.
It's always the joke. Well, I don't know, dude, because I was jamming to some David Bowie yesterday, and only 7 people could appreciate that post.
I believe I appreciate it. I don't know if
Thanks,
I did or not.
Did you see changes?
Did you see that Chris Hadfield recorded a version of what was the song that you freaking posted about on Facebook yesterday?
Space Odyssey.
That he recorded Space Odyssey. Like, he made a music video on the International Space Station for Space Odyssey.
Nice.
Oh, how funny.
It's wonderful. Awesome. Yeah, he's great.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
David Bowie.
Anyway.
And that's that. And then our indie game of the week will be Valiant Hearts the Great War. If you want to play it with us and give us your feedback on it next week, do it.
Please do. Seriously, please do. So far, like we mentioned earlier, all three of us have started it. We've really enjoyed it so far.
So far, it's 3 thumbs up. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it was $15 on the PlayStation Network, and play it.
It's $15 well spent, and while obviously, like, we know that it is kind of a non-indie game because Ubisoft is the studio behind it. It has the heart of an indie game, right? Like, this is an indie game.
I agree.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem calling it. I'm comfortable calling it a non-indie game. Anyway, so we're going to move on. This week we're going to skip our indie game of the week, save it for next week so that we can all finish it.
Other than to say join us and everybody get on to it.
Right,
and
please.
Play with us and tweet us.
Really, please do. I wanted to talk about an article that was recently published that quotes Shuhei Yoshida, who, you know, at the Little Big Cast, we love Shuhei, and he also loves us. Because he's tweeted at us a heart
during E3.
And I've got to say, seriously, that was the best part of E3 for me, was that Shuhei wrote a less than 3 at us.
Right?
He had an interesting interview with Games Industry International, where he talked about the nature of the indie game scene and the risk involved with indie games versus AAA games. And I'm going to read a little bit, so if you're bored by my reading or my voice, I apologize. He says, quote...
Should we follow along? Should I put it up and we'll follow along?
Sure, yeah. So this is the Game Bolt page. Feel free to throw that up.
It says,
we are concerned a little bit when we work on a game like Little Big Planet 3 because people want those big budget realistic military shooters, he said, and I was very happy to get a very positive reaction when we announced Little Big Planet 3. But there were lots of cheers, a lot of affection, and the reaction of Nintendo's games in general, or games like Splatoon. If you look at the whole industry and you consider Nintendo, I think the balance is actually better than past years. Yoshida cites the reception to Rezogun as a key point in his argument. Not every PS Plus member downloaded it, and that's a great, great game. That's a question for us. I hear complaints about the lack of AAA games. I do realize that some people are only interested in big-budget AAA games. I don't really understand those people. I don't know if they've tried some of the indie games and decided they're not interested. Maybe they haven't tried it. That's a key question. Almost every week you see an indie game come out digitally on the PS4. Some of them are really, really interesting, beautiful games. We're fortunate that they've created we're fortunate that they're creating games on the PS4, and some of them are choosing to launch their version, their console version, on PlayStation first. So the question that I had for you guys, the conversation that I wanted to have was, prior to us starting our Indie Game of the Week, had you ever played an indie? And if you had, what drew you to indie games? Like, what is it about indies that either work for you or don't work for you?
Rachel, you got something to say? Do you want me to say something? Because I'll say it.
Go for it. Do it. Say it right now.
So to answer your question, yes, I had played lots of indies before. And I think the reason why is because, I don't know if it's because I'm old and crotchety. But
no.
No, not
me. Don't say that about yourself.
I really feel like...
He's old and crotchety.
I just feel like in my gaming world, I have always been drawn to RPGs and puzzlers and that kind of thing, and I really had a hard time with the consoles, especially even the PS3 and the Xbox 360 when they came out. Not only was I just kind of not into gaming because I'm raising a family and, you know, going through grad school and some of that stuff. In fact, I chose the Wii during that particular instance because I wanted a family.
Weird.
Family.
Right.
Right? But the anything that I think is that I'm not interested in the first-person shooter or the giant multiplayer. I'm not into that much of war. I never played guns as a kid. I would much rather sit around and play Tetris or build with blocks or Legos, you know what I mean? So I feel like, for me personally, most of the AAAs that I found out there are a lot of shooting and a lot of, I wouldn't say violence, but it's just, it's that style of gameplay. The ones that I've found that I've really loved are the ones that have a unique feel to them that feel fresh. And it's the indies that I find that are fresh and witty, and they'll try new things. Like we discussed even when we did Brothers many, many weeks ago, there was a freshness on the way they ran the controls and the story. Yeah. And that's the kind of
don't
stuff.
Don't remind me.
Oh, I don't know. The feels. Oh. So those are my thoughts.
That's how I feel too. I never played any indie game before. I don't know if I just wasn't interested in them or I just hadn't heard the hype about them. Because, like, if you think about it, all my friends play AAA games and I just never thought to get into any games. But now that I'm into them, like, I almost prefer playing them instead of the AAA games like Uncharted and Watch Dogs. I'd rather play Valiant Hearts than, like, continue Watch Dogs or anything like that. They're just original and they just care more about the storyline and the artwork and not... I just care about the little things, and I'm definitely someone who likes to focus on the little things. And, like, the feels, like you said, out of all of the AAA games I played, just, there's only a few of them that have, like, ever really wanted to make me cry, but during this indie game thing, there have been definitely more than one that I've just wanted to bawl my eyes out, and Valiant Hearts is becoming one of them! Ah! So, I don't know, I just think they talk to you better without even saying words or dialogue or anything, and I think that's really powerful.
I would agree. So prior to this, I played a couple of indie games. Obviously, I played Journey prior to us starting this whole thing. I played parts of Flower. I never finished it before we did our show. But I think the key difference between an indie game and most of the AAA games coming out, And this is kind of changing. AAA games are becoming, I think, more progressive as far as, like, their emphasis on storytelling. I think that the Mass Effect series is a good example of that. I think that's why Naughty Dog is so good at what they do, is that they bring a story that you can care about to their game. But in a way that most AAA titles aren't able to, indie titles are able to take risk.
Right.
You know, with these bigger companies, I think typically what you see is you have stockholders that are saying, okay, Call of Duty sells 60 million units in a weekend when they release. We need more. What's the next Call of Duty? That's where the money goes. And so you have a dozen, two dozen a year bro shooters come out that are just straight up, like, super violent first-person shooters with no story other than, oh, terrorists have taken over Manhattan, or we need to go and save the world from this alien. And so while those games are good within their own realm and with respect to what they're trying to accomplish, the reality is there's not a lot of risk involved with those games. There's not a lot of passion, I think, involved in those games. Like, when I think about the people that make Call of Duty, can you imagine how exhausted these people are every day to go in and know that while they stay at that company, all they will do is make the exact same game over and over
Literally.
And over again?
They added a dog once. I don't know, Drew. Or Jack.
They added a dog once.
But do you know what I mean? I mean, they literally, there's no change because once they find that formula that makes them money, their stockholders will not allow them to deviate from that formula. And so you get stuck with the same game over and over, and it kills, like, that kills creativity. And that's where the indies, really, as we've gotten into this indie game of the week, what you said is exactly right, Rachel. Like, I'll find myself like Wolfenstein. I've really enjoyed Wolfenstein. But the other day, I was playing through it, and I was like, you know what? I heard Valiant Hearts came out, and I heard it was good. I'm going to give that a shot, and I haven't jumped back into Wolfenstein yet. And it's because it offered, like, and Valiant Hearts in particular is so interesting because the story of Valiant Hearts, if you research it, the story for the entire game comes from letters and from multiple letters that were compiled from real World War I veterans and family members. And they're telling a story that while it, you know, it might be 100 different people's stories combined into 4 people's story in the video game. It's something that's real. It's something that has a lot of heart. It's something that has, I think, you can feel the passion of the developers behind most of the indie games that we play. I mean, would you agree with that? Like, Journey. Like, wow.
It's true. I think the little things, man, just, I agree.
I don't know. What about you, Drew?
No, I totally agree. I think it's exactly what we've all said, is that these indie games have a chance to take some risk. They don't have the big budget on the line. They haven't promised themselves for, you know, give us this much funding and we'll deliver tenfold, because they're experimenting with new things. And I'm sure there are several out there that try new things and flop because they're, you know, they're trying to do something, see if it catches on. And I don't know, I think it's time that a lot of people step up and support the indies and say, hey, here's a great show. In fact, this isn't, I guess, part of what I wanted to mention was that this isn't unique to the video game world. We're seeing it. It's pretty easy to see AAA versus indie, but you see it in Hollywood. You see it in music. You see it a lot of places.
Kind of those hipsters.
I actually saw a lot of posts this week on my Facebook account from friends that were like, hey, here's a movie that you need to go see right now while it's in the theaters, because we need to let Hollywood know that we're interested in fresh ideas, and this is something that came out that is a fresh idea. I think it was The Edge of Tomorrow or something like that. It was a sci-fi Edge of Tomorrow. And they were just saying, at the same time that this one's being released, here are the others that are rehashes.
Not Edge of Tomorrow. Are you talking about Snow something, right? The one on the train?
It was only
one theater in Utah.
No, I think the one I saw was a lot of people talking about Edge of Tomorrow. Like, go to it and see it and let them know that you support this as a new, fresh storyline that nobody has taken a risk on, as opposed to Transformers 4 or any of those others that is like, okay, let's rehash it because it's tried and true. So I think we'll see this in a lot of places. But it also, like you were saying, this also goes for anything in the indie scene of films. You know, going to just see a film at the Broadway or the Tower Theater here in Utah are indie places, supporting those films that don't have the big budget, but they don't.
Right.
That's a really, really great point.
No, I think so too. And like, as Jeff says, you can like tell the passion. I feel like the passion's there because they're not doing it for the paycheck, because they're not going to make as much as they would for Call of Duty, but I mean, like, they're still doing it.
Yeah, totally. I do think it's important that we point out, like, how much KT loved Transformers.
He did enjoy it. He encourages everyone to go see it.
Have you ever heard someone gush more about a movie before? Yeah. I was like, KT, we get it. You love it.
He was just like, oh, my childhood. They reminded me of it so perfectly.
I know. They perfectly articulated my childhood as I grew up.
I'm waiting for the text in the chat. I must
set the record straight. Right now.
He's packing for their text. He hated it. He absolutely hated it. I think I saw 10 different posts from him that were like, I cannot stand how many times Michael Bay has ruined my childhood.
Why did he see it? What was he expecting? That's what I'm curious. Yeah. I think
free tickets. He got free tickets.
That's true.
He hated it. But he actually pointed out in the chat earlier that we in a way, are indie too. I mean, KBData.net and what we're doing, I would say hipsters. No.
True. Embrace it.
My pants fit just fine. They're loosey goosey. They're 80s pants.
But it's like, you wouldn't call your parents hipsters because they're like past that. So you're okay.
Okay, past that. What we call them?
Soon we'll be playing vinyls for our intros, guys.
Oh my god.
That's what it's gonna be.
We're gonna get the big, like flowery.
Like the Victrola
machine? Phonogram.
Phonogram.
Yeah, we're going to get a phonogram and do the intro on the phonogram. Put a mic right inside of it.
I'll start wearing glasses as well. All
right, so the second topic I wanted to get into today. Nice.
Right.
That's a good look for you, Rachel. Keep it up.
Right, we got 10 minutes.
The topic I wanted to get into before we wrap up today is the topic of game genres. What do we like? What do we not like? I put my list as a favorite three and a least favorite three. So I'm going to let you guys go first, but I wanted to know, kind of what you guys thought.
Yeah, we got chiming in from Twitter, too, so we got a lot of people that kind of threw in. So I'll do mine. My favorite three. I love RPG, especially JRPG style, like Ni No Kuni. I love puzzlers, things that would make you think, those kinds of styles. And I would say that if I had a third, it would probably be like side scrollers, old school stuff. But for me, it's definitely JRPG and then puzzlers. Rachel?
Yay! My favorite's RPG, just because anything that can get me to escape reality in the real world, I'll take it. I'm pretty good with those are the favorites. I can't even think of anything else that comes close to that. Basically that.
Animal Crossing, that's all you need.
Animal Crossing and, like, Sims. It's like, I need Skyrim, everything. Just anything that's not real life.
So what do you dislike, then?
I dislike first-person shooters and just, like, the multiplayer online fun stuff.
So you realize that Destiny is both a first-person shooter and a massive multiplayer online
However,
experience.
Let me tell you why I don't like them. I don't like the mass multiplayer experience because it's not that I'm bad at them. It's just because I know that they will... all of my life will be gone. I just... I can't. If you see me play Animal Crossing, that's not even a mass multiplayer. And I just... My days go... I spent a whole summer playing Sims. So, when I get into StarCraft or World of Warcraft, or it will be Destiny, I will just... No more job, no more grades, no more anything. I'll just be gone. You'll just be seeing me on PSN. That's it.
So what's the last game that have you ever? So let me ask you this: have you ever had a game make you stay awake at night? Like you go to bed and you're thinking about what's happening in the game, and you're like, oh, I should have done this.
That's my life story. It's been a while since I've ever done that. I think the last game that I really, really, really got into that was Red Dead Redemption.
Was so good.
Right. I finished that game in 2 days, fully completed.
Oh my gosh.
It was my
hands
were cramping. But I would go to sleep and I would be a cowboy and I would just wake up and be like, well, let's do this. Let's do this on 2 hours of sleep. So I'm ready. That was the last
game
I really
got into. Wasn't that a fantastic game, though?
It was so incredible. And
Drew,
I
you need to play it.
I might someday. Who knows? I don't know.
It's pretty great.
The music in that game, there are several games that I have crystal clear images of certain scenes, and there's a scene where you are going through Arizona and you go up on a hill onto a train track, and they have the Jose Gonzalez song that's singing about a runaway train, and the sun is setting over the Arizona landscape. Oh, if you haven't played Red Dead, you got to play Red Dead.
It's perfect. It's a great game. And just the gameplay and the storyline, it's awesome. It's a great game. But that was the last one I got really into.
But this is a first-person shooter, right?
No, that one's third.
It's like Grand Theft Auto. It's just like Midwest Grand Theft Auto is the best way I can explain it, except better. And then I just struggle with the first-person shooters because I'm so bad at them. And it's so stereotypical, and it's so awful. But, like, I'm always the sacrificial person who just runs. I just run in the middle of the field, and everyone kills me, and then I get kills everyone. I actually have a record of, like, breaking controllers because I get so frustrated with snipers who just watch my respawn point and just shoot me. So,
oh, man.
Easy. My shooting is always embarrassing. I always
have ever had what?
So have you ever had a game like that where, like...
Oh, I'm not bad on everything. I used to play... Now, I'm old, but I used to play the games like Doom, where you'd have, like, 8-on-8 or 4-on-4. I think it was Doom or even Duke Nukem. Like, several of those were... Or Quake. Like, I used to play those with multiplayers, and yes, I was that same... Like, I'm just horrible at it. I tried.
I put so many hours into Halo and, like, Call of Duty, but it's just... I couldn't do it. I just can't do it.
I also button mash when I play Tekken and the fighting game. I don't even know what I'm doing. So
it's usually super effective.
Yeah, that's why I play the, like, my favorites are RPGs and you know, puzzlers, things that I can use my noggin for. This to me, Anyway, so least favorite. Oh yeah, your favorites.
Yeah, so my favorites, number three, shooters, first or third person. I really enjoy them, like, better or worse, I enjoy them.
And you like to share them on your Facebook. I haven't seen them lately, though.
I haven't played Battlefield in a long time. I've been busy. number two, I love, like, action adventure, so Last of Us type Mass Effect kind of falls under action adventure and RPG. But I think Uncharted is, like, the perfect definition of an action-adventure game.
Okay.
I love that. Number one, RPGs, specifically Western RPGs. I grew up loving Japanese RPGs. But that changed what did it change with? Probably the Elder Scrolls series. With Morrowind. That changed a lot for me. I fell in love with Western RPGs after that. I think they're more compelling and they're less strange, especially now. the only JRPG that I've really enjoyed recently was Ni No Kuni, and I loved that game. But it definitely was very different from, like, your Final Fantasy 13s and 14s and that garbage that I've unfortunately played.
They went up a track somewhere.
Yeah, they did. Least favorite. I really dislike real-time strategy games outside of StarCraft and Valiant Hearts, I'm retarded. What was it? I let you borrow it and you hated it, Drew. Valkyria Chronicles.
Valkyria Chronicles.
That had elements of a real RTS to it. I loved that game, but most RTSs I can't get into at all. I hate driving sims. Like, Gran Turismo... Need for Speed.
What about Little Big Planet Karting? Do you like that one? Because that's kind of driving, right? I don't know if it's simmy.
Even karting games I don't really like. I played Mario Kart 8 the other day for a couple hours, and I was like, I'm done. I'm good. I never need to touch this again.
So maybe is it because you're bad at them, or is it because you're uninterested in them?
No, I'm okay. I just really am not interested. I'm like... I can go faster than this in my real car, and then it feels real.
I'm a flight medic, for poop's sake.
Yeah, and my number one...
I fly everywhere. Okay, go ahead.
My number one least favorite is fighting games. I am not a fan of, like, Tekken's and Mortal Kombat's, and I've never gotten into them. I remember growing up and getting my butt kicked at Mortal Kombat and being super pissed all the time, and maybe that's just something that stuck with me.
Wasting quarters all the time.
Right.
Yeah. I was a little sister, so they would just beat on me physically and virtual life.
Yeah, not a fun
Look at that sad face.
I have a sad face.
But who was it? Was it Freddy that tweeted at us again?
There was. He liked... His least favorite is RPGs, and his favorite is open world / first-person shooters.
So I'm wondering if, like, open world FPS, I wonder if he's talking, like... So, Freddy, feel free to tweet at us. I'm curious. Are you talking about, like, Borderlands, then?
That's open world FPS.
An open world FPS like Borderlands, I think
Fallout.
Destiny probably would count as that. Fallout probably would count. Like, Fallout's definitely got RPG elements to it as well, and so does Borderlands a little bit, but more than anything else, Borderlands is a very first-person shooter with just plopped into an open world. So yeah, let us know what kind of games you mean by that, Freddie. We'd love to hear from you. So before we wrap it up, I want to make sure that we give shout-outs both to Freddie at FreddieNativi on Twitter, and then also to Tori D. I don't know his last name, but he is at Shifty25.
Oh, yeah, Shifty.
That is also his PSN ID is little x, big x, Shifty, big x, little x. He gave us a shout-out earlier in the week, put a screenshot up of our episode 17, and that he was listening. He mentioned that he listens every week. So major shout-outs to those guys. And a major FU to Mike Lynn, the Mike Lynn 99.
I'm sad he didn't show up today. I really wanted to talk to him.
Yeah, that guy is a douche. So anyway, moving on. We'll keep that short. Thanks for joining us. This has been episode 18 of the Little Big Cast. Again, I'm your host, Jeff Hawks. You can follow me at Jeff Hawks. With me today, Rachel Hernandez.
I'm Rachel Hernandez.
Where can we follow you, Rachel?
At Pirate Rachel, but with a 3 instead of an E on Pirate.
That was quick. Like, yeah. Pirate Rachel.
I feel like every time you say that, you're like disappointed that that's what your username is.
It's kind of, I'm like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the MySpace days.
A little bit.
Everyone was like, oh, I'm Sammy Suicide. And I was just like, guys, I want to be a pirate. I don't want to be a natural disaster. So it just kind of stuck. And then I made a Twitter when I was 12, and I did the regular E. So then I grew up, and I still wanted it. I just had to tweak it up.
I like it.
It just stuck with me.
It's like Parsifal.
Yes, but you did
instead of an E.
You had a Twitter when you were you tweeted when you were 12?
No, I didn't. I just made an account and I didn't really use it, but I had it.
2008, 2009. When was
that? That's impressive. Yeah. You're an OG, dude.
Right. Yeah, dude. Yeah. So even my Twitter handle now is still pretty. My first tweet was like it was a while, man. That's been around.
You should have made your Twitter handle just Rachel with
Dude, right? You were that early.
I could have probably.
Wow.
And also the ever wonderful Drew Tyler.
Ever wonderful.
The one and only.
The one and only ever one. Yeah. You can catch me at Knight20, KNITE20, which is hell to explain to everybody when I try and give my email address to somebody or if I try and use it anywhere because Knight20 and they start spelling it.
Are you ever going to tell us the story of how you came to be Knight 20? I feel like I've asked several times, and I've never gotten an answer.
I've never heard him laugh like that, like how red he is.
I know, it's kind of weird.
Well, I don't think I'll be sharing that. I will tell you that Knight 20 has been something that I have, that's my moniker, my handle, my whatever, since 2001? 2001.
I'm just going to put this out there, like the level of redness that you just hit leads right? me to believe it's something sexual.
It's not, no, it's embarrassing because it's...
What is Jeff's hair?
Someday maybe I'll share it with you. We're not going to do it live on the broadcast right now. If anybody out there in Twitterland wants to guess where the Knight 20 came from, I'm happy to hear that. But no, nothing sexual. It's absolutely it's a vice. I'll give you that. Yes, but no, it's purely illegal. It's youthful. How about that? It's youthful.
We'll figure it out.
Purely anyway. Illegal.
That's
an awful way to state it.
Either way, this has been episode 18. Thank you for joining us. We're pumped you stuck with us. Have a great, morning, noon, or what is it that they say on the Truman Show? Okay. Good evening, good afternoon, and good night.
Yes.
I don't know. Does that sound right?
Does anyone watch the Truman Show?
Dude, don't talk crap on the Truman Show. The Truman Show is fantastic. Thank you.